What's up, baby? It's Bretzky, and I'm here to tell you that SpinQuest.com is giving out free sweeps coins. All you gotta do is purchase a $10 coin pack, and guess what? They're gonna give you the coins from a $30 coin pack. That lets you play all your favorite games like Blackjack, Wanted, Dead or Wild, and we're talking real cash prizes, baby. SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies. Feline, with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
A lot of you were shocked by Elgin or Lance this morning. I'm a part of that show, but most of you guys were pissed that they weren't there. Trust me, we saw the tweets. I got a text this morning from a friend, pretty much, where the hell are you guys? And I said, first of all, in my head, I don't want any man text me before 8 a.m. I specifically don't want a man text me, and that's my wake-up text for the day. And it's about work. Like, I don't remember time before 8 a.m. that any dude texted me and it was good news. So I didn't want that. And he was just asking, where's Sean and Lance? And that was what a lot of you guys are asking. Look, I get it. It was mentioned that the show wouldn't be on in the morning. It was mentioned, but you guys don't listen. We don't expect you to listen for all 3 hours every day. So you missed it. John had vacation time. Oh, I don't know what he's doing because we don't tell each other why we're taking time off. He just is. And then Lance saw it as an opportunity. Hey, I'm going to take a day off. That's why when I tweeted who's the most lazy, it's clearly Lance. John had a day off. He scheduled it, whatever. Take your day off. You got days. When Lance found out that we didn't have enough bodies for me to co-host and I would have to produce and host, he was like, you know what? Nah, I'm out. So that's why he's the laziest of the bunch. There's no reason he couldn't have done a show. He just decided he didn't want to. And then John, a little less lazy, but still lazy because he took the day off in the first place. Me, I could have worked. Clearly, I'm here. So I could have worked. I would have been fine. So there it is. We got a text in our group chat from a friend of ours saying, "What's with this national bleep?" So we know he's not a real one because he didn't notice till 9 a.m. He didn't text us till 9 a.m. asking where we were. So he's not a real one. A lot of you guys are. It was immediate. Where are you? How come you're not on? Hey, time off is time off. And they don't get those days back. So they're taking them now. That's what it is. That's why John and Lance weren't here. If you got grievances, that's fine. That's fine. I saw them. They saw them. You want to air your grievances on the show? We're good. I do want to point out that their absence also deprives you of a call from one of our legends. Now, he normally does this the day after, I believe, or maybe he does it on Valentine's Day, but Freaky Dicky tweeted us and said, I got some advice for guys for Side Chick Day. AJ, by the way, AJ's here. He's filling in for Sean. AJ, you don't need to incriminate yourself with anything, but if you want to jump in, that's fine. Side Chick Day is simply the day you use to show the woman who isn't your girl that you value her, apparently. That is what Freaky Dicky calls in about to tell you how you move in these situations when, of course, today is the day you honor your girl for being your girl. But, of course, some people who still play a particular game have someone who isn't at the level of their girl, but it's still someone they find important. You don't have to say anything if you don't want. Understood. You may be trying to protect the innocent or the guilty. I'm not sure.
Oh, no. I'm chilling to me. I'm single right now. So
okay. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter for sure.
So if that is something that happens from time to time, it's like our golf tournament, the occasional invitational. It doesn't happen every year, but Freaky Dinky will call in and tell us what you should or should not do. Can't get that call because John and Lance aren't here. So you can blame them for that, too. That's another thing you missed out on beyond their musings about the Rockets and the game last night. It was Nick Cayley Day yesterday for the Texans. We'll get into that. Plenty of sound there where Nick Cayley was introduced. D'Amico Ryans talked about why the move was made, why Bobby Slowick had to go. And there something that popped out for me beyond some of the cliche stuff that every OC says at the time they get hired was D'Amico talked about it was a report by Jonathan Alexander who explained why the Texans made the move with their O-line coach. Now Cole Popovich has that job as opposed to being the assistant O-line coach. And apparently Chris Strausser, who was the O-line coach, was more of an overseer, like a supervisor. They had two guys under him instructing the run game and the pass game. And then Chris Strausser, the OC, was the guy, you know, making a list and checking it twice, do that. So I'm not sure how hands-on he was. We know the reporting is that the players like Popovich, and that's one of the reasons he's got the job. We'll see if there are more than a couple voices in that room. Apparently there are at least three in the last go-round. We'll see if we just get one voice, and maybe that helps. But I did not know that. Credit to Jonathan Alexander that the Texans had two guys instructing two different parts of what they do, and then the guy who is a face of the O-line room was kind of making list and saying, good job, guys. That's good. I don't think he said that's good very often. Is that Lance? Is he walking through here? Yeah, I can hear him. See, Lance is here. Don't give me the finger. People are upset with you. Beyond the whole, he's dabbing, which is embarrassing in itself. Beyond the whole lazy thing, people were very upset that the guys weren't around. I get it. I grew up listening to Howard Stern. And his strategy was he would never tell anyone when he was off. He wanted you to tune in on Monday morning, even if he was on vacation for a week. Hey, you shouldn't. That's aggressive. You shouldn't be listening to any other show anyway. So even if I'm on vacation, you should be listening to me and my reruns. So Lance is here. So clearly he could work.
No,
but he decided not to.
I couldn't. I didn't even wake up until.
Well, you could have woke up.
6:48.
Well, you could have.
I would have been late.
No, you could have if you decided that was your plan.
Microphone.
So Lance is here, everyone. So if you missed him this morning, he's here. You got into a bit of a back and forth. Someone responded to my tweet.
I didn't feel like reading all that stuff today.
Someone responded to my tweet about who's most lazy because people were calling us lazy.
Yeah.
And then someone took a shot at you.
Well, I had
and
that
you
guy muted already.
Kind of got in a fight with him.
Yeah,
on
I had that guy muted, and then he took a shot at John, and I was like,
and nah, you?
Okay. Yeah, I didn't care about me, but I can't let it stand with John.
I wouldn't defend John at all.
You gotta. He's a national treasure.
Is he?
No.
No.
He's a national problem.
Yeah, the problem.
He is the problem.
See? Lance is here, everybody.
Yeah, I'm not trying to listen to somebody. Oh, lazy Josh Berger. Whatever.
So what are you doing today since you're not doing a show?
Well, I just wrote Ja'Cory Brooks from Louisville, and I'm currently writing Bo Collins and Riley Leonard from
Notre
Dame.
Bo Collins? You have to write Bo Collins?
Sucks.
Why? Yeah, why do you have to write a Bo Collins?
Sucks.
He's not a NFL
No, he's not.
Draft
he's going
pick.
To the combine.
Yeah, why are you writing a Bo Collins?
Because he's going to the combine.
Ugh.
Yeah, it's not taking long. Tremendous amount of drops. How do you know Bo Collins?
Because he played at Clemson, yeah, and Notre Dame, yeah.
The guy's like 400 yards is his cap.
He's one of the guys that Clemson tried to identify. You know, they had their run of identifying big-time outside wide receivers. Now, Justin Ross got hurt, but in college, they had big-timers.
Well,
from DeAndre,
right.
Sammy Watkins, so on and so forth, T. Higgins. He was one of the guys who they missed on. They continue to miss on outside wide receivers.
Yeah.
He's just the next in line.
21 drops and 14 touchdowns.
That's not good.
It's never good to have more drops and touchdowns
no,
in your career.
Good. No.
Yeah, so I'm watching him, and then I get to Will Howard.
Riley
today.
Leonard? Do you have to write a Riley Leonard?
Yeah, he's going to the combine. Anybody who goes to the combine, I have to write.
He's not a...
That's 340
Is he
players.
Getting drafted?
I don't think so. I'm in the process watching Bo Collins, but since Riley's throwing, I don't think so. He's a try-hard guy who will hit a camp. Maybe he'll be a quarterback three at some point, but I'm not giving
So the mics are off. Maybe you caught it as he walked in. Lance walked in and go, let me sit in on this sorry ass show.
That's not what I said.
Yes, it is what you said.
No, Mike's didn't catch that.
Well, now I caught it, though. The person who was directed at caught it. I heard it. But so you're sitting in on the sorry ass show. You've got, you know, it's Valentine's Day. Yep. And, you know, you deprive the people of a call from Freaky Dicky.
Yeah, no, that's the one thing that I do. Well, he reached out like this morning, and usually, like, that's enough to just stay on the air. But we didn't, for so people don't know, we're kind of shorthanded because Sean Mapes is starting a college basketball season today on video
games. That game hasn't been released. We're still on CFB.
I don't think enough people would buy that.
I don't know. I know CFB, the game we're playing right now, was very highly regarded. People went out and got that because of the scarcity. It hadn't been out for over a decade.
I'm trying to be part of a crew to do potential ratings for them, but they're bull cornered around, so I don't think it's going to happen for college football.
I got a game tonight to solidify my spot in the CFP.
You just play it whenever you want?
No, I got to play Josh Beard, so I can't play it whenever I want.
Oh, y'all play each other?
Online Dynasty.
It's not Sims?
Joe George is in it. Sean Mapes is in it.
I figured you would sim.
Well, no, if you got to play a real person, you play him.
I would do play. Can you do one where you just call plays?
No, you actually have to run the plays. You can call, but you have to control the players.
It's called Schloick 2025, where you are the play caller?
No, that's not a game anyone wants to play.
If they have one called Bobby 2025, I will totally buy it.
They're not naming a game after the Dolphins passing coordinator. They're not pass game coordinator. They're not doing that. Speaking of that, it was Nick Cayley Day yesterday.
Yeah. I saw his press conference, and D'Amico's like, yeah, this guy's great. Everyone talks about his leadership. He's a fun guy. Mm-hmm. He's not just married to one way. He can do it different ways.
The Rams way.
And then Nick Cayley's like, yeah, I'm not going to try to pound square pegs in a round hole.
Players not plays.
Players not plays. I need to do what the players are good at. Basically, the whole thing felt like they were saying Bobby Slowick, the players didn't like him because he couldn't adjust to them or do what they wanted him to do, maybe.
Now, I certainly have some thoughts. We'll get to them. But players not play things is a thing that every OC says. It's a thing. It's a nice thing to say. But how much different will anything be considering Nick Kelly's pass? He's not going to go into a spread shotgun formation. Like Zach Taylor actually did it when he wasn't, that's not his background, but when Joe Burrow got there, he changed an offense completely to fit the style of his quarterback. He's not going to do that for CJ, is he?
No, CJ,
CJ played in that type of offense at Ohio State. He's not going to do that.
At college, it's a little bit more. When you come into a situation, you want to wrap it around whatever your players are. But this idea that it's players and not plays, it's players, but you also draft players to schemes. Like that's what you do. If there's a scheme that D'Amico runs or there's a philosophy that he has, he wants physical guys who can win one-on-one with rush. He wants longer corners who are going to be able to press and who are going to be – you know, there's certain types, so you have types. So offensively, you know, you were – you already had Tytus Howard, you already had Laremy Tunsil, but you drafted Juice Scruggs, who wasn't a great fit for zone scheme. I wrote that up. Like, I was surprised that he was drafted here for zone scheme. I do think a gap scheme will be better for him, but you drafted him knowing what Bobby Slowick was going to run. That's a little strange to me. I don't know if that was Bobby or Nick, or it had to be a combination of the two. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know that this team isn't a different scheme away. I think the one credible complaint you have with Bobby Slowick on the surface, I don't know, behind the scenes there may be more stuff, but on the surface is that he didn't get to a more quick game-oriented passing game, a more spread and throw, because you do want to run the football with Mixon. Like, Mixon ran well. But at some point, you had to say, look, we can't hold up. We're going to have to get to quick game. We're going to have to spread and throw those little seam routes, those little hitches and stops like we saw against the Chargers. Now, if you do that, you know, the Texans did that against the Chargers. Well, of course, you put it on tape. Kansas City took it away. They just played up closer. And so you got to be ready to, okay, we're going to do this week. The Chiefs are probably going to take that away. So let's get to that. And I will say that one of the issues that Gary Kubiak's biggest issue with this scheme is that he could not, like, it was all about executing the scheme and that's it. And when somebody took things away from him, He couldn't get to anything else, not really. And I thought Shanahan changed all that, but, you know, maybe Slowick had some of the same issues. I don't know. I mean, I just saw a lot of – you could point to some of that, but a lot of it was CJ just missed throws he got last year. Like, I don't know what – like, I still can't get past the fact that you – it's just clearly not all Slowick, and it's clearly not all CJ, and it's clearly not all the offensive line, but all three of them
came together to make the Texas a bottom 10 offense. You know, we talked about it earlier this week. Connor Amber
Rose was an issue last year.
Okay. Well, he was at another celebrity softball game. I don't know if he left with anyone this time around.
Well, Cactus Jack, same one here?
Yeah.
Yeah. Travis Scott.
Yeah. People are confused. Even my mother's saying, is Lance there or not? She's, why is he here? Not, why didn't he do his own show? People are like, what's going on?
Because we were too short-handed.
I explained to people what happened. Yeah, you guys are lazy, but I explained to people what the actual issue was.
My son, actually, he becomes officially – he's already a firefighter, but he gets pinned today.
Drake?
Yeah, Drake. Okay. He gets pinned today. I got to go to the Woodlands at 3, so I came in here to start writing
stuff.
Do some work. Yeah, because I got to – you know, it's the Woodlands, so I got to leave at about 12:30 for that flight. But I got to go out there, and that's gonna take up a lot of today. And I don't have – I screwed around a little bit in December, and I was like
– So you're behind schedule.
Yeah, man, I'm so behind schedule. I got to write 6 players a day. Players take about – quarterbacks take about 2 to 2.5 hours by themselves. And I've still got Will Howard, Riley Leonard, Kyle McCord, like Seth Hennigan, and Curtis Rourke. Can't Memphis quarterback.
Yeah,
Curtis
Rourke. Can't you just go, nah. Nah, I don't want to do that. Like,
I wish.
You got to write up Hennigan.
You know how mad I was sometime when I get done with these write-ups and I'm like – I spent 3 hours on Quinn Ewers. I was like, man, I could have done this in an hour.
Like you,
he is who I thought he was.
Yeah, you're devoted to the craft, not this job, but the other job you do.
Yeah,
you're right. Devoted to that job. So, do you? How many players do you feel like I just wasted an entire day writing these guys? These guys ain't draftable.
Oh, a lot.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes I see it like Rock Taylor's this big tight, big wide receiver from Memphis who can't get open, and I see it right away. I'm like, this is just a matter of I got to find 4 or 5 positives, 4 or 5 negatives that I can put on the scouting report, and then I'll tell you why he can't be a player. So it's just a matter of I got to fill in the sheet, but I already know he can't play, so I don't want to take too much time mm-hmm. here.
That's
so sometimes you get that, and sometimes you're like, man, how am I – right in the middle of a scouting report, I start looking at something on Twitter, then I fight with somebody.
Why?
What you say, stupid ass? I hope you didn't. I hope you never listen again. And I'm like, then I get down a rabbit hole. Like, what's this? Oh my God, Jessica Alba's is she getting back together?
No.
What is the story here?
Well, how does Jessica Alba's status affect you at all?
I just start looking at stuff, and then I realize, wait a minute, this is taking 2 hours for an undraftable receiver because I got distracted.
You know, I get it. Like, I'm praying on Josh Allen, Haley Steinfeld's downfall. Not because I have a chance. Yeah. I just don't like
just
that
do
is
it.
The thing. I just don't like that as
I just
a thing.
I
don't want him to be happy.
Yeah.
At least not that type of happy.
Nah,
he could be happy in
a
different
totally
way.
I'm totally with you.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fine. That's Lance Erline.
Yeah, I don't dislike certain people. I just don't want them to have success
supreme
with
happiness. I don't want it for them.
Yeah. It's usually tied to women
like
that
Josh,
are unattainable.
Yeah, Josh, find yourself a nice Buffalo girl, not a pop star actress type.
Yeah, go get you a 7.5.
Buffalo 10, I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care what it is. Just not her. That's all. That's all.
Go get you a cold weather girl.
Yeah, a girl who's going to love Buffalo and won't drag you out to California all the time.
Somebody who shotguns beers.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you need. Somebody who might have too much to drink and then jump off something onto one of those tables, and then before you know it, you know, she's trying to do things in a truck.
She consistently
that's probably Buffalo.
She consistently wakes up with dried buffalo sauce under her fingernails.
That's
what we're looking for.
That's what you're looking for. Smitty Hardy.
Yeah, Josh. Do that.
Smitty Hardy, not Haley.
Not some actress who's you know, ruin you, because that's what the fans will say if yeah, you know, things go badly for him next season.
No, we saw what happened with Amber Rose.
That was like
what happened with our quarterback.
That might have been a night.
Must have been
maybe
a hell of a night.
According to
CJ, already this year said, I've been 2 1 foot in, 1 foot out. I got to get right with Jesus and do this.
CJ,
I'm like, man, what happened to that man?
CJ didn't trick us. That 1 foot in, I got to get 2 feet in with Jesus, that means something totally different than what people are trying to. That man was busy. Busy.
That's what I'm worried about. That's right. 2 feet in.
Yeah,
but with Jesus.
Yeah,
not 2 feet.
Yeah, it's. Get that scripture in, and then get that playbook in.
I don't care if you're religious or not. It doesn't matter. You need to want that man to have
no,
all of his hopes. You can be an atheist and say, man, I need CJ if you're an atheist but you're a Texans fan, you want good quarterback play, and if Jesus makes him right, then you better hope and pray he's with Jesus so we start getting some completed out routes.
Yeah, more.
And gets rid of the ball a little quicker when, and doesn't take sacks when he's inside the 40-yard line of the opponent's 40.
I need him to live his life more like the Book of Matthew, not the Songs of Solomon.
Yeah, that's right.
Real ones know.
Book of Matthew, Godspell, musical was created off that one.
Real ones know Songs of Solomon. AJ knows. I mean, I haven't read that book since, I don't know, I was 15. But it was a thing. It was a thing. They didn't teach it in Bible study for a reason. It was holy. Kind of. We'll hear from Nick Cayley when we come back. DeMeco Ryans. That was Lance Erline, by the way. He could have done that on his show. He decided not to. He decided to bogart half of a segment here. He's in the building. He may pop up again. I can't promise you. Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30 for our weekly segment where he tells you what you should or shouldn't watch. I did watch the latest episode of Severance, another banger. I watched the first 20 minutes of The Gorge. My decision was, do I watch like an hour of The Gorge, hour and a half, and then come into work and get the other half or 45 minutes in or so when I get home, or watch a full episode and get the first 20 minutes in? We haven't got to the romance part of The Gorge. I see them releasing it on Valentine's Day. But the first part, the whole snipers and we got to kill something down below and it's the gates of hell, I'm in. But I feel like the romance part of the equation is going to ruin the entire movie. But we haven't gotten there yet. We will see. Okay, Lance, thank you for joining us. Michael Carroll will join us. AJ's here. We'll hear from your new OC. We'll talk about the Rockets. They played like it was the first day, the last day before the All-Star break, until their backups came in and almost won that game for them. So we'll get to that, too. We're just getting started here. We'll be back.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
AJ, what's your TV? Maybe not TV. What's your provider of choice? Are you a Comcast person, YouTube TV, Tubi? What do you use?
For cable, I use Xfinity.
Xfinity.
Yeah.
That's a classic. I used it for a while. And I can't believe I'm going to say this, but YouTube TV might be forcing me back. Beyond the fact that they don't have Space City Home Network, and I got to find alternate ways to watch the Rockets, which I did last night. I have seen so many in-timeout entertainment segments because for whatever reason the Road broadcast has the entire, like, the way I watch it, they have the in stadium, in arena feed going. So I've watched so many people miss three pointers to try to win stuff from the Rockets this year. I've seen it all. Not many people can knock down a three or a free throw. It gets tough. It gets sticky after you miss like the first two. Then it starts getting short, starts getting going way left. People get nervous.
Right, pressure.
I don't see a lot of people making free throws or threes to go win stuff from the Rockets. Clutch is out there selling. He's got to sell the dream, and it's tough.
Right. And it's in Houston, too, in front of the baddies and stuff as
well. Yeah, so. It's rough. Yeah, it's rough. You go out there, they put you in some ill-fitting shirt or Rockets jersey. You got to go out there. Maybe it's your own ill-fitting shirt or Rockets jersey, whatever. You go out there and shoot, and at some point you have told someone in your life you can ball. And then they watch you go out there and can't make threes against air with no deep defender, not even come close, and then it changes the perspective.
Exactly.
So yeah, you're right. You're doing it, trying to perform out there, particularly in front of a girl you might have brought to the game, that's tough. But the prices for YouTube TV in 2019, it was $35. 2025, $83, and that's without any of the special add-ons. That's $83 for their base package. And they're in a dispute with Paramount Plus right now, so you're going to lose some channels too. So it's rough out there. I'm like, I don't know. I don't want to go back to Xfinity, man. But there's a shot that I have to, because the YouTube TV, the convenience of not having to deal with anyone to cut the cord, all that stuff. You go, I'm out. I don't want to talk to anyone. I can click a button. It's over. That's why I have it. But if I got to watch another person miss a free throw to win a prize, I don't know how much more I can take, and then the prices for the thing I do have continue to go up, and I don't even use it for anything but sports. I got so many other streaming services. Right. That's what I watch mostly. But there it is. $83 now. Shout out to YouTube TV for that. No, Art, I'm not hitting the horn for Kendall Graveman signing for the Diamondbacks. He's not even an Astro anymore. So there's some news out there. Broke about 40 minutes ago. Kendall Graveman, former Astro, is a Diamondback. The Astros lineup, for the most part, and roster is set. You know, there's some spring training invites and stuff like that, but it is what it is now. With Bregman being in Boston, we kind of know what they're going to be right now, and the hope is that they stay healthy through camp. Okay, the Texans introduced Nick Caley yesterday. Nick Caley, the OC formerly of the Rams, spent time with the Patriots too, so a lot of the questions about what the offense would it be more Patriots-like with Josh McDaniels, or would it be what we saw more with Sean McVay? And he gave the answer you typically expect, where it's going to be Houston scheme. We've heard that in this town before when an OC's been asked about what the scheme will be. It'll be Houston's. It'll be unique to Houston. And that was a lot of the talk, but we'll hear from Nick Caley here on his scheme.
There's always everybody has all 11. I mean, we all got to be in sync, and I think protection starts, obviously, with communication, with trust and communication, cohesiveness up front, and really having clear, you know, rules in the protection system. So we're going to, you know, we'll be going through that process. Obviously, I got a, you know, history with Cole, dating back to my time in New England. He was our offensive line coach, and I coached the tight end, so I have a really good working relationship and a level of trust with Cole. He's a very good football coach, and I'm excited to go through this process.
That was Caley on how to get better protection for his quarterback. I mentioned the three voices in the room last year, Cole Popovich being one of them. He will be the one voice, it looks like, going forward. We'll see how the Texans operate, but if you missed it, they had three main guys in there with Cole Popovich being part of the unit, and they had another guy that was part of it, and then they had Chris Strausser as the O-line coach in name, while he had two guys under him teaching the running and passing blocking schemes for the Texans. And this is what D'Amico said about the new / old O-line coach in Cole Popovich. I feel really strong about that Cole will be the one voice to lead the room. Cole helped a lot of our young players when it came to developing. He had a really great relationship with a lot of guys, and I think very highly of Cole and what he's able to do. I think him having a prior relationship with Nick as well, and them being able to work together and then to hit the ground running instantly, I think that also will lead. That also led to my decision, and I know they'll be better for it. He says he knows they'll be better for it. So there is some cohesion. You bring back a guy that the players like. Nick Caley and Cole Popovich worked together in New England, so he feels good. You better feel good today. When it comes down to it, the proof will be what we see on Sundays. But there is some optimism there, and it's new, so everyone's going to feel like they've got the problem fixed. We will see how they address personnel in free agency. So Cole Popovich, your O-line coach, Nick Caley, your new OC. We'll hear more from Nick Caley on a scheme. Like I said, that was more about their O-line and how they plan to fix it when we come back. So it was Nick Caley Day yesterday. We'll get to the Rockets, too. They lost a tough one, man. Watching the game, you all of a sudden notice that Nate Williams is getting more minutes than he ever had. Jayshon Tate's out there. Alpe got benched and didn't come back. He may have seen enough. They were down by 24 in the third quarter to a Warriors team coming off a back-to-back. Steve Kerr didn't even know if he was going to play Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry. They played, and they were kicking the Rockets' ass for the better part of three quarters until the backups. The guys who are fringe rotation players. Hell, Nate Williams isn't even a rotation player. He isn't even a fringe guy. He's a guy who spends most of his time in a warm-up, and he spoke to that after the game about what he thinks he's capable of. But they made a run. They couldn't finish the deal, and credit to Ime for keeping those guys in and trying to see if they could get it done. Jalen left, didn't come back. Alpe, as I said, Amen did go in and out, but Dylan Brooks, he didn't make an appearance in the fourth quarter, I believe. So it was all on those guys, and they probably just ran out of gas. That's a long amount of time to try to come back in a game. And they almost got there, and Holiday played a big part in that as well. Okay, so we'll talk more about that. We'll get into some of the other things Nick Caley said and also what D'Amico said about the firing of Bobby Slowick when we get back. But before we do all that, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing. You go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com and check out all they have to offer. They do so many things for you, whether it's a big job or a small one. Maybe you need a vanity done, or there's a small leak that you need taken care of. You don't know. You don't know what to do. You can't fix it. You're not a plumber. All you know is that when the water turns on, you want it to be clean, and you can use that, and you want to use that water to cook, to clean, to, clean yourself. And if you turn on the faucet and you got dirty water coming out, that's a problem. You take it for granted. And if you want to keep doing that, you just go to Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Whether it's a giant job like a repipe or something where they're taking out a water heater, whether it be one of the traditional ones or a tankless one, they do all that for you. And they have people who are local contractors, people who have been doing it for such a long time and have doing it and been doing it well. Billy Brown is the owner of Aqueduct Plumbing Company. He's a local guy in the Clear Lake area, so it's local people helping out the local customer. Be it a leak detection or a plumbing fixture is all there for you. You can call them at 281-488-6238. You get yourself a free quote. They're not going to come out there and charge you before they know what the deal is. Get that free quote for what it is so you know what it'll cost before you make a decision. Go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. That's aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're back inside the Veritex Community Bank Studios with Del Olalea. I mean, you're not actually in the studio, but if you watch ESPN Houston's YouTube channel, it's kind of like you are. No, not really.
Close enough, Michael. He'll join us at 11:30. So that was user error on my part. I didn't throw the audio I was looking for in there, and AJ had to, oh, he's asking for something. Let me try to play something. So that's on me. So let's get to Nick Caley on a scheme. Is it a Texan scheme? Is it a combination of Rams and Patriots? How would he describe the scheme we're going to see come September? Here's Nick Caley.
It's going to be our scheme based on what we do. And I don't say that to throw any curveballs. It really is. I mean, my history dating back to when I first got into the National Football League under Coach Belichick is we were going to be a game plan team. If that meant we were going to run duo and gap schemes and run the ball 45 times to win the game, then that's what we were going to do. If we had to run more perimeter plays, wide zone, and we felt that was going to give us the edge, we were going to do that. It was all going to be based, we were going to ask our guys to do what they do well, but it was going to be based on what we do to help us win. And at the end of the day, we want to win. And that's priority for us.
Bill Belichick, known for not just having a scheme-specific game plan, but he would have a scheme per half. He would have a response to what he thought you would do to respond to his initial game plan. He would have a second one in his back pocket because he knew what your adjustments would be. We'll see how deep Nick Caley gets into it, but we've heard that from others. If you've listened to a press conference from a play caller, you've kind of listened to them all. Like, look, Bobby Sloak was very in-depth in what he talked about in the middle of the week. But as far as what a guy's going to say when he's asked about what a scheme's going to be, it's going to be specific to players. The players not plays thing gets thrown out all the time. It is the one thing people can latch on to and go, look, he's not going to be stubborn. He's going to do the things that put his players in the best position. And we certainly hope that's the case. There's going to be a certain levels of things. He's not going to just become a spread type of offense. DeMeco, according to the reporting, kind of went back and forth on did he want an offense that focused on under center run game. How much of that did he want to play a part in his offense, or did he want to go more to what maybe CJ did at Ohio State where they spread it out and threw it all over the place? He chose an offense that has more elements, it looks like, initially, of the power run game. And you heard Caley talk about the different ways they could run the football in there. So we've heard from him. The words are nice. We'll find out. We'll find out in September if whatever they've done to improve their offense actually works. We've talked about this before, Sean and I. I'm waiting to see. If you can win a press conference, cool. But go out there. It's now year three. And for DeMeco Ryans, you've had to get rid of your play caller. Because of the loyalty that the McNairs will show to him, I don't think if Nick Caley's bad, it would immediately result in DeMeco being under real pressure. But you only get so many of these where you missed on the first guy. You can't really miss on the second guy, not to the point where we're asking about how good your quarterback is. And that's the biggest problem for Slowik. First year was good, and then you will take the blame for the regression of your quarterback, the young quarterback that everyone believes in. It is how quarterbacks get the label coach killer. If the quarterback is respected and people believe in him, then someone else is obviously the problem. And you heard Lance this morning. Well, on my show, he didn't do his own show. In the first segment, he talked about if you weren't around, he talked about he doesn't think it's just a Slowik thing. He thinks it's an O-line thing, and he partly thinks it's a CJ thing. So how do you get CJ Stroud back on track? That might be the most important thing beyond scheme and players not plays. Get your quarterback right and to the point where he's not missing throws that he should make. That was my biggest concern. The outbreaking stuff that he would miss, the even balls that were complete in 2024, he would stop guys' feet. That's not what he did in 2023. His accuracy was such a big deal for him. But in 2024, you would see guys from throw to throw. He would hit him in stride, and then on the next throw, a guy has to turn either in midair or stop his feet to make a play on the ball. And those turn good plays from being great plays. So you hope part of the process is finding whatever happened to CJ and fixing it. It may be as simple as making your quarterback feel more secure. So that will be Cole Popovich's job along with Nick Cayley's. We'll hear from DeMeco Ryans a little bit later. He talked about why he got rid of Bobby Slowik and what went into that decision. So we'll get to that in a little bit. But when we come back, we'll talk some Rockets. It was an ugly game last night. Someone asked me how I watch the Rockets now. I can't voice that over the air, I think. He DM me. I don't like when guys DM me either, but at least it's after 10. But I'll tell you, man. I'll get you that information. There are ways beyond having Tubi or having Xfinity. You can watch your Rockets if you have like YouTube TV. If you have that like me. So we won't talk about that. I'll DM him that. But we'll talk about what happened last night in a game where the Warriors dominated throughout and then held on as the Rockets bench players almost came back. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Rockets lose to the Warriors 105-98 last night, and that score was indicative of, for the most part, the fourth quarter, but up until the benching of Alpi and Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks throwing Amen for a while too, the Warriors dominate the Rockets from the middle of the second quarter on. When they pulled Brooks out and Jalen Green out with about 6:13 left in the third quarter, the Rockets were down by 21 points. Amen came in at that time too. Landell came in for Alpi a little bit later when they were down by 23. So Ime had seen enough. Those guys look like they were ready to get out of there. And it's tough because the Warriors are in the same spot. They're the older team, and they had a tough loss the night before in Dallas. But they came in there and kind of, I wouldn't say they broke the Rockets' will, but the Warriors imposed themselves on the Rockets. It felt like it was in the middle of that long losing streak the Rockets just broke to the Warriors, where the Warriors could not lose to the Rockets. It felt like one of those games, like no matter who's playing on either side, this game was going to go the Warriors' way. And you need to give some credit if you watched the game. Give some credit to those backups, the guys that Ime leaned on when the game was getting out of hand. Like Holiday started because Tari couldn't play because it was the second night of a back-to-back. So it was Holiday, late, Jayshon Tate and Amen kind of went back and forth. You had Nate Williams in the game, Landell in the game. And those guys, for the most part, played from the middle of the third quarter on. Amen was the one starter beyond Aaron Holiday who came back in the game. But it was a lot of the guys who you don't normally depend on. and they all and they almost came back. Like Steph hit a big three, which he will do. But the worst part was Draymond. You leave Draymond open for a reason. And you know, we know Draymond's attitude. He's going to let you know when he makes a shot. All I was hoping for, a little self-awareness. Draymond, they left you open for a reason. You ain't got to bark because you made a wide open three. There's a reason you're open. In fact, you should be embarrassed that people treat you that way.
He would us. Floor.
Yeah. Draymond wouldn't make threes in the in-timeout entertainment that the Rockets have. He probably would miss those shots just like the fans. You should accept the fact that you are left a wide ass open for a reason. Don't bark when you make the shot. Just go, hey, I get it. I get why you did it, and I happen to knock the shot down. I think it was like 102-90. I'm not sure exactly. I think the Rockets were up by four. He knocks down a three to put the game away. So while you look at the score, 105-98, hell, you even just look at the quarter by quarter, you don't see this giant quarter from either team. That's because the Rockets' backups pushed the Warriors in a third. Like I said, they were down 81-57 at one point, and it closed 82-72. So that's, what is that, a 23-1 run to close a quarter? That's how good the backups were as they tried to fight back and almost come back, but they didn't. So the Rockets end not really the first half of the year. They played 55 games. They end the pre-All-Star break part of the year at 34-21. Better than you could have thought. I don't think anyone thought, well, some people thought they could go on and win 50 wins. I think their over-under was 43, so they're clearly going to get over that. But to be the fourth seed going in to the All-Star break, and that's with going 3-7 in your last 10. They haven't even played well in their last 10, and they still have that type of record. They are half a game ahead of the Lakers for that 4-5. So overall, no complaints. It has been rough the last 10. Reed Sheppard not being a major part of this team, not getting consistent minutes unless there's an injury, that has been surprising for the first part of the season. But I don't think we should be unhappy at all about what the Rockets have done so far. That's a good basketball team, young, and I have my doubts about what they are as a playoff team in a series, because they have certain triggers that get them going, whether they're forcing turnovers or they're getting on the offensive boards. That's the way their offense runs best. It's beyond obvious to say if you put the ball in the basket and they have to take the ball in the basket, it's going to hurt them in transition. But it's even more than that, because they feed off bad shots. It's not just turning the ball over. Long rebounds get their offense going. They have so much athleticism, whether it be 2-on-1, 1-on-2, or 1-on-2. Those guys have opportunities to go get an easy bucket because of what Jaylen can do in the open court, what Amen can do. And, of course, you have Dylan Brooks, who feeds off the tension those guys get in the open court and knocking down three. So when the game slows down and better shots are taken, even if they're not going in, and teams are game planning more for what the Rockets want to do, when they crash the boards on the offensive and defensive end, it'll be interesting to see what they do to adapt as, you would say, playoff basketball starts. But we're a little bit away from that, and Ime Udoka, in the midst of a potential Coach of the Year campaign, he's got some competition. You've got guys like Atkinson in Cleveland and Bickerstaff, who used to have the Cleveland job, in Detroit. Detroit solidly in the sixth spot in the East. That's a team who has been bad for years. They've been a non-factor for years. There's a reason you look at their roster, at least for the guys they've kept. It's full of guys who are not just lottery picks, like high lottery picks, guys who are drafted from like 8 and above. I mean, Jalen Duren's in there. He was a little bit lower. I think it might have been a year where they had multiple picks. I'm not exactly sure. But Jaden Ivey, who's hurt now. Cade's having his best year. Bickerstaff was a guy who people thought was doing a poor job in Cleveland because of how their playoffs went. They got beat by the Knicks a couple seasons ago in the first round, and then they beat Orlando last year and then lost in the second round to the eventual champion Celtics. But he's maybe best suited to be a coach of young players. I don't think his bag was as big as Monty Williams, if we remember that. Monty Williams was a disaster in Detroit, but hey, team CTC, cash those checks, Monty. and you got him. You got the bag for not a lot of work. Not sure why what they saw in Phoenix was enough to attract them to give him that type of money, but they did. But Bickerstaff is coming, and in 1 year, kind of pulled an Ime. Like, they're better than the Rockets were in Ime's first year, but they were in a worse spot than the Rockets were when Ime came in. The Rockets were bad, yes, but Detroit was embarrassingly bad. The Rockets, you could see from time to time, they would have their moments. You could like Şengün, you can like Jalen Green. You really pretty much only like Cade on that team, and that was more based off draft status. He was okay up until this year. Now he's an all-star. So I think it's those guys, like Ime, Bickerstaff, and Kenny Atkinson, your clear front runners for Coach of the Year, and Ime has a real shot to go get it. We will see how that plays out. But it's not the official end of the first half, but it's kind of how everyone treats it. And I like what the Rockets have done. They play an exciting type of ball. We will see if they find more consistency with their offense and in the fourth quarter, and that might determine how good they can be in the playoffs. Okay, hour one is done. We'll have Michael Carroll at 11:30. AJ's here with me as it's kind of a bit of a skeleton crew. That's why John and Lance weren't here this morning. If you missed it, John and Lance did not do the show. Some of you were upset. You tweeted them. You tweeted me. You called us lazy. There's one person here out of that three. Well, I'll take that back. There's two people here. One of them won't do a show. I will. So if we're ranking, I'm nowhere near as lazy as those two. But vacation days are vacation days, and you're allowed to take them. All right, we'll get to hour two when we come back.
I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play and win from the comfort of your own home with hundreds of slot games and all of the table games you love with real cash prizes. Right now, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 for new users. It's all at SpinQuest.com. That's SPINQUEST.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Spring Sale and get 35% off paints and stains March 13th through the 23rd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.